I tell you what, I got to say, before I get going, I'm very proud of the youth leaders in our church. And just to see them in worship and the rest of the band, obviously, man, our church is in good hands. You know, the future is bright. Just in case you're wondering where Pastor Kerry is, he's up at Victory Life Broome. He'll be back later this week. Some of you follow him on Facebook, and you know when he goes up to Broome, he normally turns into this kind of crocodile hunter man. If you haven't seen what he got up to this week, I think he picked up a sea snake on the beach, thinking it was dead, possibly. Yes, I think he did. Okay. So he picked it up on the beach, and I think while it was in his hands, realised it wasn't dead. So it was either miraculous or crazy or maybe both. He is all right. He will be back next week. He's dealing with some things up at Victory Life Broome. So keep him in your prayers and keep Sal and the rest of the family in your prayers as they lead our church. So let me just pray before we get going. Father God, this morning, take us closer to you. Father God, would you take us to a deeper place in you? Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would continue to move, continue to minister to the people in this place this morning. And Father, less or none of my words and all of yours. Use me as your vessel. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So church, this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit has led us to this point. Over the last few Sundays, we've been on a journey with the Holy Spirit. You know, Pastor Kerry, a couple of months ago, preached on righteous road signs. After that, he answered our questions with God's answers. And then just last Sunday, Pastor Michael Harvey, from the shores of the British Isles, lovely place, came and spoke to us about creating a culture of invitation. You know, last Sunday in particular, Pastor Michael challenged us in asking various people, whoever they may be, to ask them to church. We even wrote their names down and placed them at the foot of the cross here. Now, for some of us, that might have just been a really easy or maybe obvious scenario. Why wouldn't I invite someone to church? No reservation in you. But for others of us, the prospect of asking anyone to come to church might fill us with a little bit of stress and a little bit of anxiety and a little bit of fear. And those of you that came midweek on Wednesday night when Pastor Michael was preaching a seminar here, he explored some of the themes that cause us that stress and that anxiety, such as fear of rejection, fear of looking foolish, or even causing damage to our relationships. And so here we end up here today. And this morning, I just believe the Lord wants us to consider as individuals and corporately as his church about going to a new level in him. I believe he wants us to consider what it looks like to break off some of our stresses, some of our anxieties that lead us not to fully lean into him. And I want to open up with all that said. In Matthew 28, 16 to 20, I'm reading from the Message version. It says this: "Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up until the end of the age. So my presumption is you might have heard the Great Commission before, but can we take a moment to focus on that moment just prior to the Great Commission? It said, some of the disciples held back, not sure about worship, not sure about risking themselves totally. Next line, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead. Now, I don't know about you, but I see quite a lot of parallels between so many of our fears, whether it be inviting someone to church or facing challenges in our lives, that we find ourselves often in the same sandals as the disciples, kind of unsure about risking ourselves fully. I believe that this is the level of vulnerability, that risking it all, that Jesus is calling us to this morning. So what does it look like to risk ourselves totally? What would it look like for us to not hold anything back? What would it look like to face some of our fears head on? You know, it's worth noting that despite the doubts of the disciples, the very next line in the Bible said, Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead. You see, could it be that in the midst of our vulnerability or our lack of faith, Jesus wants to go right ahead on our behalf? So I want to share with you a little testimony about what vulnerability looks like in real terms. You see, last Friday, I had this experience. I've been having these vulnerable experiences over the last 3 weeks, truth be told. And last Friday, I was preparing to do the devotional at youth on Friday night. So I wake up Friday morning, I start praying, and God says to me, the only thing God says to me is, Craig, don't preach from notes. Now, man, like for me, I'm like the note taker. That's what I do. That's how I feel. I show my diligence. If I take notes, that means that I'm concentrating, I'm prepared, particularly when I'm about to preach. So I said, God, I'll make a deal with you. You might have been here. You might have tried to deal with God before. I don't know. But, you know, I know best and all that. So I said, I'll make a deal with you, God. Because, you know, in my head, I'm going, no. If God only knew what would happen if I didn't preach off notes, my goodness. You know, if God only knew. Yeah, thank you for the laughter there. That was a joke. So, my deal with God. I said, God, I'm going to make notes, all right? But if you tell me not to preach off my notes again, then I'll know it was you. So with that, I whack my headphones on pretty much all day, turn my iPod up nice and loud, and just listen to my music all day long. I'm telling you, things were going so well. So well. I got through the entire day. No further instruction from the Lord. Lovely. Beautiful. So, we reached Friday night, and a little bit of irony. Brooke, Emily, and Mark, they're up the front leading worship. Much like today, and God speaks to me. An epiphany moment. Now, you know he didn't tell me to throw my notes away. You know, no, that's exactly what he does. That's exactly what he says. He says, don't preach off your notes, just as I'm about to step onto these steps here. So I throw my notes down, and I'm standing in front of our entire youth ministry. I've got our leaders up on the stage. They've diligently prepared. The team is diligently prepared. We've got the kids in front of us. They're waiting for me to say something, and the truth is I'm winging it completely. Now, most of you will be aware, but Friday night is our evangelical night for youth, okay? That's a safe night for kids to go, all right, you come down to the church, and we're going to have a lot of fun, and they'll speak a little bit about Jesus, but it's kind of like an introduction session. Yeah, we've got connect groups where we really get our discipleship on. So I'm fully aware of that, and I know that that's the purpose we do Friday nights, and within an instant, somehow, I've turned our intro to Jesus night into a fully fledged, who wants to be healed by the Holy Spirit right up in here? So I've got this kind of, you know, I don't know how many kids we had and leaders. We got 40 or 50 between like leaders and kids. And there's this kind of like, oh, what? Like, I'm like, straight up, guys, if the Holy Spirit could rock up right now and heal someone, like, who's in? Who wants that? Hands start going up. And I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, seriously. So hands start going up, and this young guy, he puts his hand up first, and I got a bit of relationship with him, but he doesn't normally come to youth. He goes to Hillside Christian, so I know him, but he's not really into the whole Jesus thing. And he came to a conference that we did, and it's all new for him. And I'm like, oh, mate, what's going on here? Like, so I go, mate, come on up. And he comes up, and what does he say to me? He says, I've got a twisted shoulder. All right. Now, bear this in mind, church. Later that night, I did qualify what a twisted shoulder was. What he actually meant was he'd fallen out of a tree, dislocated his shoulder, broken a couple of bones through here. The guy, like, this was like a, it wasn't just a twisted shoulder. My goodness. Anyway, and you know, maybe that's why, you know, anyway. Where was I? So he's taken up my ill-prepared invitation, and we start to pray for his twisted shoulder. So at the end of the prayer, full of faith prayer, Marky and me are up the front. Come on, you know, kundama shundara, you know, all of that. We're giving it everything we've got. And now we're at the crunch point. What happened? Like, are you healed? Are you healed? And he kind of goes, nah. In front of our whole youth ministry. It's just like, oh, nah, you didn't do it. Thanks, Lord. Thank you for that. So, still winging it, I go, well, who else wants healing? What else can you do? So we ended up getting Zachy. Zachy comes up, and by chance, he's got a gammy shoulder as well. It's like shoulders night at Hillside Youth. And the first kid is still standing there. So we're like, all right, well, let's all just pray for him, for Zach. And the first kid lays hands on Zach as well. So we do that, and like, all right, Zach, what happened? And he's kind of like, oh, yeah. I think it's a bit better. But kind of like, you know, there's nothing for me to kind of scream and shout about and go, look at that. You know, that's the moment that I want, isn't it? So there isn't that moment, and I'm just going, all right, well, we're going to check in with the boys because the word of God does not return void. So we're going to check in over the next few days, months, years, whatever it may be. And I send them back, and the boys are going into the training room to do small groups, and the girls are going out here, and I'm like, all right, well, head off to your small groups, and we'll carry the night on. And I'm a little bit like, oh my goodness, like what? I'm like, there are kids that just think I'm a complete nutter. So at this point, the first kid has walked back to pick up his can of Coke. I'm oblivious to this. He picks up his can of Coke, and then suddenly he's just in my face. He's just right in my face again, going, "You did it! You did it!" And I'm like, "Mate, what are you talking about? You did it! You did it! I didn't do nothing to start with." So like, it was. He goes, "Look at my thumb." I'm like, "That's not your shoulder." And he goes, "Look at my thumb." I'm like, all right, mate, you've got to tell me what you're talking about here. He goes, I cut my thumb on my Coke can before I got up to be prayed for. And I'd cut my thumb and it was all bleeding all the way across. And when I prayed for Zach, I laid my hands on him and I didn't. Zach was wearing a bright yellow Crystal Palace shirt. Great, great choice of shirt, Zach, let it be said. He was wearing a bright yellow shirt, so the other kid didn't want to bleed on him, so he prayed with his thumb up, and he felt a bit of a tingling sensation, didn't think anything of it, went back to his Coke can, and not a single scar on his thumb. And it's a thumb, you know, like, you know, I'm trying to go, like, that's God working miraculously, it was a thumb. Okay, all right. So, you see, I had dismissed all the other boys. I'd sent all the other girls away, and this geezer's standing in front of me with a thumb that there's nothing to see. So, you know, like, I didn't get this moment. I didn't get the moment. You know, I wasn't there. We didn't get the moment of, like, God is at work. But I've never seen this kid. His eyes were, like, busting out of his head. He, you know, his whole face was just full of, like, God just did something. And, you know, I tell you that story, guys, because as much as it was his testimony, it was mine. And just what I hoped to see and what I hoped the outcome would be. And, you know, having that moment, a little bit like Pastor Michael spoke about, the moment of success. Come on, let's have a look. Like, everyone look. Like, his shoulder's all done. Never got that. But God was at work. And I just wonder if he showed that to me in that instance to just check how vulnerable I was willing to get for him. There are kids still, like, that came that other Friday night. They'd think that, yeah, Craig's going to tell everyone they're going to get healed and nothing's going to happen. There are still probably kids. Maybe there are kids that were here on Friday night that didn't even know that occurred. So, you know, like, so much of it being about me, and it was never about me anyway, but so much of my struggle, my anxiety, my fear, my stress was revealed in that moment. And I'm only telling you this, church, because, you know, it doesn't actually bring me great joy to tell you about my epic fails on Friday nights. You know what I mean? Like, but I just want to encourage you, really, that sometimes we step out in faith and we don't see what we think we're going to see and we get discouraged, or we look around at the people that were all hopeful and they go, "You didn't do nothing, mate." And the reality is, it wasn't even about me to begin with. So I wonder for you, church, if you're anything like me, where God is at work and you actually have no idea of what he might be up to. You see, I played this weird part on his journey, of this young lad's journey, but the part I played was to have hope and to have faith in Jesus. I feel like the Lord wants to take us to these places of vulnerability. And, you know, it's a bit like the stepping out of the boat moment, you know, for Peter. It doesn't feel great. It doesn't look normal. But something occurs in the supernatural when we step out of the boat. I just wonder, can I just quickly share with you, because if you think this is just like, it only happens to Craig, like all of us have got these slick testimonies and Craig's just got lame ones. I checked out the Bible, as I often do, and I just wonder if the Lord is asking us to show some reckless abandon in outworking our faith. Just like when Moses, as he led the people out of Egypt, you know, there were moments where his faith was tested. If I could have that up on the screen, in the book of Exodus, it says, when they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it in the water. Of course he did. And this made the water good to drink. Of course it was. All right. So, oh, it goes on, doesn't it? It goes on. Does it go on? Yes. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. You see, I hasten to guess that Moses didn't actually know how God was going to work through that entire process. You know, he's out in the middle of nowhere. Everyone is going, Moses, you're a terrible, terrible bloke for bringing us all this way, and we got nothing to drink. God provides a stick. He picks it up and goes, whoop, in the water. We're all good now. I'm pretty sure Moses didn't know what was going down when he threw the stick in the water. It was just his job to be faithful. If Moses had listened to the other voices around him, I just feel like he would have quickly missed God's voice and God's favor. I want to throw out one more from the Bible, and it's about a guy called Gideon, okay? And it's from Judges 6, and it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, there is only one way to respond when God says, mighty warrior. Next line says, pardon me, my Lord. Like, really, really, Gideon? Come on now. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. Let's keep going. The Lord turned to him and said, go in strength. You have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? I just think the Lord's just going, come on. And Gideon keeps going, pardon me, my Lord. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest and the least, and I'm the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Once again, you know, in these short verses, I think we can quite easily establish Gideon had no idea of how God was going to use him. This guy Gideon, the weakest and the least in his family. You see, if he had listened to other opinions of him, he'd have quickly missed God's purpose and favor over his life. You see, it's easy for us to run in the opposite direction when fear enters our lives. To run in the opposite direction when stress or anxiety enters in. And in the process, it's easy for us to actually run away from our Heavenly Father, who can do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can fathom. Can I get the band to just come back up? Just going to wrap things up for this morning. Church, can I plead with you to not lean on your own understanding of circumstances in your life today? Can I plead with you? Because I think, you know, I don't think I'm the first person to say this. In fact, I'm probably a repeat of what happened last week and the week before and the week before. Can I plead with you? I feel the Lord wants to take us to another level, but in order to take us to another level, we got to recklessly follow our faith and be cool with coming off a little bit vulnerable and looking a little bit vulnerable. So what does that look like? How do I do that? Well, you know, I just want to encourage you that I don't think it's about how much faith you think you have or how much faith you think you have not. You know, my story on Friday night went through a whole load of different levels of faith according to what I was seeing in the natural. But the reality was I was looking for something supernatural to occur. I think that vulnerability becomes okay if we acknowledge the power of Jesus in our lives. You know, we've sung song after song this morning about I surrender, I give you it all. Do we? And I believe we started this morning's service at the end. You know, I believe, Jace, what you prophesied was just bang on for our people this morning. Brookie talking about Test me. See if I don't have good things for you. Test me. I believe the reality for us, all we have to do is come to Him. That is all. Just come. And I believe there are people in this room that are anxious over situations occurring in their families, maybe with your brothers or sisters, maybe with your parents. I believe there are also people in this room that are stressed and anxious over financial situations, like debt that just seems to be closing in. I believe that there's people in this room that have work troubles, either with your work colleagues or in the process of finding employment, that it's causing you anxiety and stress. I believe there are people here that are looking for healing supernaturally, whether that be a physical ailment or even just in your mind. In fact, just on that physical healing, I believe that there's someone here that has an issue in their left hip or possibly their upper leg. It's been like just playing on my mind all morning, man. It just won't leave me. That the Lord would say, is somebody with a left hip or upper leg problem that He wants to bring breakthrough. He wants to bring healing to you today. I don't know who that is, but maybe come up and I'd love to pray for you. Not that it's about me, because I think Jesus is going to bust out anyway. Maybe you've had a dream that's been crushed. whether it be recently or in the past. And it's just like a thorn in your side, man. Maybe there are moments that have occurred that you're trying to process in your own understanding, that have occurred in your life, that you're trying to get clarity over. And God says, you know what, I want to bring clarity to your mind this morning over that thing you don't understand. I want to bring clarity to your mind. That desire of your heart, there's somebody with a deep desire in their heart that, again, it's just, you've listened to the doubters. You've listened to the doubters. Everyone's told you it's too unrealistic. It will never happen. But that desire, God says, that's a God-given desire. And if you come to me, I will show you in my time it will come to pass. You know, that fear of rejection or that concern that you'll damage a relationship, you know, particularly around that question that we asked last weekend, where you ask someone to church. You know, if there's some of us in this room that haven't asked that person to church yet, and the doubt has started to come in, or that fear of rejection has started to come in, don't run away from it today. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. If you're burdened, if you're weary, if you're trying to fix that situation in your own strength, Jesus says, come to me. So as we sing this morning, if you need to come and stand, whether you've done it already at the start of this morning, whether you need to come again, or whether you haven't come up ever before, I'm telling you, this is not to fulfill my goal for the service, but I think Jesus wants to be at work in your life. So don't feel like man is telling you to do this. Be led by the Spirit. I just encourage you to come. And that includes if you're feeling weak in your spirit. Maybe if you're feeling downtrodden in your spirit. Maybe if you're feeling, man, I just can't be dealing with this right now. You're exactly the people I'm talking to. Remember what the Lord said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And can I tell you, church, I've been standing in front of the Lord all week, probably for the last 3 weeks, in absolute, absolute weakness. At times, it's not even pretty. Like, my faith is absolutely lacking. And he just shows me his grace. And he shows me his power. And he shows me the benefit of just faithfulness with nothing. I'm coming before him just faithfully. I got nothing for you, Jesus. So just deal with me. And he shows me. He just shows me. He just shows me. You know, I believe that we're entering into a season, church, where it's going to become commonplace to see his signs and wonders coming and occurring in this very place. I'm not saying they haven't happened before, but it's going to be as regular as a heartbeat for us to see Jesus work in signs and wonders. But we need to be vulnerable. We need to allow ourselves to risk it all for Jesus. So before you go out into the world and fulfill maybe the Great Commission, why don't you take a moment to come before the Lord, before the foot of the cross, and just surrender it all to him this morning. I haven't got 3 steps to surrender. It's just surrender, whatever that looks like for you. Can I encourage you to do it? So if you feel led, the altar's open. You can spend as much time or as little time as you want here. But let's get vulnerable before the Lord. And let's sing, I Surrender.